we want to come to the Word of God this morning again, and we're opening our Bibles in Genesis chapter 40, please. Genesis chapter 40, continuing our series in the life of Joseph. We left last Lord's Day with Joseph in prison. He's still in prison, and we want to take up the story this morning, and particularly of the baker and the butler who joined him in prison. Genesis chapter 40, I'm beginning to read at verse number 1 a.m. Very conscious today that there'll be quite a number seeking to get to the funeral this afternoon, so I do have that in mind, and as ever we will endeavour to finish promptly so that you can get home and hopefully get to the funeral on time. Genesis chapter 40, and reading from verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and they served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded. And their blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I was also in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost baskets there were all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree. And the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand, and he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. We have noticed so far as we've been looking at Joseph that he was falsely accused. He was wrongly imprisoned. We could say he is a man who had received unfair treatment. Do you know what that's like this morning? Maybe you've been treated unfairly in your family, maybe even in the church, maybe in the workplace, and so you can understand what it's like to be unfairly treated. You see, unexpected restriction. Joseph can no longer move about freely. He's in prison, and many of God's people find themselves with unexpected restrictions, sometimes due to health. No longer able to do what they used to be able to do. No longer able to go where they used to be able to go freely. Now they find themselves with unexpected restriction. Joseph was the victim of untrue accusations. He also was the victim of unfair abandonment. He had been forsaken. I wonder how you and I would cope. A famous philosopher, Nietzsche, who had absolutely no time for God, said this: a man can undergo torture if he knows the why of his life. Another man who was also a German, who was imprisoned by the Nazis for his faith, said something greater. I learned to know the who of my life. He was enough to sustain me then, and is enough to to sustain me still. Do you know the who of your life this morning? You see, throughout Joseph's encounter, we read these words over and over again, the Lord was with Joseph. And what a difference it makes when the Lord is with us. I want to think of the butler and the baker here this morning, and they have found displeasure with their employer. Look at verse number 1. It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and the baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. The butler would be the king's cupbearer, a little bit like the job that Nehemiah had. You remember, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, and he went in with a sad face. I'm told if you went into the presence of the king with a sad face in those days, you could actually lose your head. I wonder how we would manage this morning as we come into the presence of the Lord. If we come in with a long face, I wonder if that was the case, how many of us would survive this morning. But this was a man who had an important job, and it was one that he took very seriously. But somehow, these two men found displeasure with their employer. We don't know why. We don't know what they have actually done, but both of these men fell into disfavor, and both of them are imprisoned with Joseph. And Joseph was, at this time, in charge of the prison. I want to bring a few simple thoughts from this chapter this morning. I have three simple headings: preaching, trusting, and remembering. And I could see these three things in this chapter, and sometimes you think, well, is there any link? Well, I believe there is a link. If you get the right preaching, then people will be trusting. And if people are trusting, then they'll have no trouble remembering. And so let's hope that this comes together this morning. I believe there's a lesson here on preaching. And you're maybe saying this morning, what's that got to do with me? I have no intention of preaching. I don't intend to preach, but you are in the listening business if you're not in the preaching business. And I believe in Joseph's behavior here, you see what you should expect from a preacher. This is what you need in your pulpit. This is the type of man that you need to listen to this morning. Joseph is mentioned again in association with dreams. This time it's not his own dream, it's the dreams of others. And of course, when you think about dreams in the Old Testament, remember we're talking about the Word of God. God used to speak through dreams and visions. He doesn't have to do that now because he speaks through his Word. We have a complete scripture. But when we look in the Old Testament, this is God speaking. This is the Word of God. You can see some lessons here about the Word of God. Notice how personal it is in verse number 5. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. Each man had his own dream. In other words, God had a word for each of them, and that's how God works. God speaks to you individually. God speaks to you. And so often you sit in a meeting, and there just seems to be something for you. And God speaks through his word, and he speaks very personally. And I wonder, do you come to church to hear what God has to say? Is that why you come? This morning, as you were getting ready, when you were praying this morning, you say, Lord, would you just have a word for me this morning? Just for me this morning. So often we can take the word and we can apply it to our husbands, our wives, or maybe someone else in the meeting. And we're thinking, boy, they really needed that. But do we come and say, Lord, just a word for me. Just speak to me today. That's how the Lord speaks. And if you come with that readiness of heart, and if you come looking for the Lord to speak, he will never, ever disappoint you. Think of the baker here in verse 16. The butler receives some good news, and because of that, the baker decides he wants to hear what the Lord has to say as well. Look at verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I was also in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. I believe he had no interest, really, in what God had to say. But when he heard that it was good news, his ears pricked up. When he saw that the butler was going to be released, he wanted some of this good news. And you know, some of God's people are like this. As long as you're saying nice things to me, I love to hear it. As long as God is bringing a word of comfort to me, I'm all for it. But you know, when the Lord has something hard to say, something harsh to say, something challenging to say, then I don't want it. And I believe the baker here was a little bit like that. He heard good news for the butler, and he says, I want some of that good news. I believe he's a man who would want to hear something that was easy to listen to. He wouldn't be interested in the commandments, thou shalt not. He wouldn't be interested in being challenged about his idols. He wouldn't be interested in challenging about covetousness.
Thou shalt not covet. He wouldn't be interested in that at all. He would like to hear a nice sweet word, a good word, as someone used to say, a nice sweet man with nice sweet messages. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What sort of a preacher do you want? Do you want one that tickles your ears? Do you want one that will entertain? Or do you want one who'll bring the word of God? Joseph is going to bring the word of God. And here's somebody, when he thinks it's good news, when he thinks it's a word of comfort, when he thinks it's going to be easy to listen to, then he wants to hear. You see how God speaks personally. Notice how Joseph delivers the message sacrificially. Let me explain what I mean by that. Back in Genesis 37, verse 8, we read this. His brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. The last time Joseph got into dreams, he got into trouble. The last time Joseph brought the word of God to his brothers, he ended up in trouble. They hated him. They envied him. They were jealous of him. And eventually they stripped him and they threw him into a pit and they sold him as a slave. It cost Joseph the last time to bring the word of God. But look at him this time. He still brings the word of God. And let me say this. It costs to honestly expound the word of God. It can cost you members. It can cost you attendees in your meetings. Because if you're prepared to fluff over the difficult things, if you're prepared to glance over the sins of God's people, then you'll have no problem. And there'll be plenty of people who will love you. But if you want to get into the Word, and if you want to dig deep into the Word, and you want to expound the Word of God, all the Word of God, let me say it's going to cost. And it could cost you friendships. And it could cost you support. And this is why I say to you this morning, all of us gathered here this morning, and I know we represent a number of churches here this morning, what sort of a preacher do you want? One who will preach personally as God gives him the word. One who will preach sacrificially. He'll declare the truth no matter who it might offend. No matter who it might hurt. It's much easier to listen to an entertainer who punctuates his message with humorous stories and anecdotes, and all you get is stories from all the different places and a little bit of scripture thrown in here and thrown in there just to make it look like a sermon. Joseph wasn't like that. Joseph was a man who would preach sacrificially. Joseph is a man who preached faithfully. Notice the dream of the butler in verse 9 to 13. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And here comes the interpretation in verse 12. Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head, restore unto thee thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler. You're going to be set free. You're going to be delivered. It's a message of grace. It's a message of mercy. Many people would preach a message like that. No problem at all. But then look at the baker, verse 16 to 19. You know, it's a different story, isn't it? Look at verse 18. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. It's a message, you're going to die. You're condemned, you're going to be cursed. It's not a very pleasant message. It's not a user-friendly message. It's not a message that's going to win you any friends. And Joseph, he's got two messages. One that's a message of grace and mercy and deliverance. Another that's a message of judgment and condemnation and cursed. What's Joseph going to do? Well, Joseph preached the whole counsel of God. You see, there are those that say, look, Joseph, would you tone it down a little bit? Do you not think, Joseph, that's a little bit harsh? You know, some of God's people get embarrassed now when you talk about hell. And yet the Lord Jesus talked about it over and over again. And some will say, yes, preach about heaven. Don't mention hell. Yes, preach about love, but don't talk about the wrath of God. Preach about how God can hold me up and help me and sustain me. And we thank God for it, but don't dare preach on my sin. Preach how God comforts me, but don't preach a challenge.
We read that Paul shunned not to declare the whole counsel of God. Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. And again, Paul said, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God. Some would have said to Joseph, yes, speak to the butler, but don't give the message to the baker. And some of our pulpits in our dear province are filled with men who don't preach the gospel. And shame on them. Shame on them when they stand before God. And they're leading people astray and giving people false assurance and false peace. Shame on them. Shame on them. See the type of preacher that Joseph was? Sometimes the message was a message of comfort. You know, it's easy to come and tell someone you're going to be set free. You know, it's easy to go to someone with good news, but sometimes you have to go with bad news. And very often it's left to the old pastor to bring the bad news. And I have to decide, am I going to be faithful to God and please God, or am I going to seek to please men? What sort of a preacher do you want? You see the sort of preacher that Joseph was. You can see a lesson here on preaching. And you can see something typical here as well. Remember that Joseph is a wonderful type of Christ. He is numbered with the transgressors. Remember, the Lord Jesus had two thieves, one on either side. Here's Joseph with two men, one on either side of them. Both of these men could hear and see Christ as they hung on the cross. Here you could see both of them could hear and see Joseph. Both heard the message. One of them is delivered and set free. The other is condemned. And when you look through it, you can see a wonderful picture of the gospel in Genesis 40, verse 9 to 11. In the butler's dream, it talks about the vine. Christ is the true vine. It talks about the third day. Christ rose victorious on the third day. It talks about the vine and the cup and taking the vine. And of course the wine speaks of the precious blood of Christ. Here's someone depending on the precious blood and they're delivered and they're set free. When you look at the baker, it's all his own works. And he's condemned and he's cursed. If you're here this morning and you're not saved and you're depending on your own works, I'm sorry. But you're under condemnation today. And it's by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so you can see so much in what Joseph is preaching here this morning. That's enough about preaching this morning. Then let's say a little bit about trusting this morning. Look at verse 13. Joseph is one of my favorite characters, and Joseph is a godly man. And so I'm slow to point out any faults in Joseph. But I think Joseph is at fault here in this chapter in one point. Look at verse 13. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Here's good news for the butler. And now Joseph's starting to think. You know, Joseph has been in prison 11 years now. 11 years. It's a long time. We read the chapters and we don't appreciate that. He's in prison 11 years and he knows God has promised him that one day he would reign in Egypt, that he would be the prime minister, and that others would bow down to him. He knew God's word. He believed God's word. And here, as he helps the butler, he sees a way of helping God. Look at verse 14. But think in me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing, that they should put me into the dungeon. Joseph sees a way out here, and he says, this will help God keep his promise. I remember someone telling one time about a picture of the feeding of the 5,000, and it showed someone with a wheelbarrow. And they had two huge fish in the wheelbarrow. The head of the fish was over the front. The tail of the fish was over the back. And then these five huge loaves. And someone was wheeling this big wheelbarrow. And there were five huge loaves and two huge fish. And the picture was entitled, The Feeding of the 5,000. Do you know what the artist was trying to do? Help God out. Help God out. God doesn't need your help. He doesn't need my help. And Joseph's trying to give God a hand here.
God says, one day, Joseph, you will be set free. One day, Joseph, you will rule. And your brothers and your mother and your father are going to come. And they're going to bow down before you. This is never going to happen in a prison cell. And here's Joseph, and he knows what God has promised, and he's trying to get out. And so he thinks if this man says a word for him, that somehow this will speed things on.
He's going to give God a helping hand. What would have happened if Joseph had have got free then, and not 2 years later, as you'll discover in Genesis chapter 41? You know, he just would have been another slave. He never would have known of Pharaoh's dreams. And they never would have contacted this prisoner. You see, God knew what was best for Joseph, even when Joseph didn't. And Joseph would have to wait a further 2 years. 2 more years in prison before God was going to fulfill his promise. I'm sure Joseph looked at the baker. He only had to wait 3 days. And I've been here 11 years. And I wonder, is God testing your patience this morning? Genesis 41 verse 1 says, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. 13 years after Joseph received the promise, in Genesis 37 verse 2, he was 17. In Genesis 41, he's 30 years of age. It took 13 years before God fulfilled his promise to Joseph. I wonder, are you fed up waiting? I wonder, has God been testing your patience? I wonder, are you a bit like Joseph this morning? Are you tempted to kick the door open? God has shut the door. And God has said, not yet. And sometimes we want to barge in. We know better than God, but we don't know better than God. And if Joseph had have got out, he never would have been Prime Minister of Egypt. It never would have happened. God knew what was best for Joseph, and Joseph had to wait 2 more long years. And I would say to young people this morning, sometimes the Lord lays something in your heart and you know what God wants you to do, maybe a course in university. And I know some in my own family, and they've applied for a course. And they've told him, look, you can't get in now, but if you wait another year, you'll get in okay. And a year to a young person can seem an eternity, a year. And they've gone in and they've went into courses that really they've come out and it's been no use. It's been obvious that the Lord never intended them to be there. And young people, is God asking you to be patient? Don't be in a hurry. If God has something for you, don't you be rushing, because God's in no hurry. And let me say, Joseph had to wait 13 years. And maybe God's asking you just to wait a little longer. Do you know why? Because he's got something far better for you. And I've seen it in my own life. When I step into the situation, when I try and force the situation, it always ends up in a disaster. The psalmist says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Revelation 3, the Lord said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. When God opens the door, don't you worry, nobody can shut it. But don't try and open the door yourself. Too many of God's people have forced the doors open. And they find themselves in a spiritual wilderness. Maybe God's asking you to be patient this morning. You see, preaching. You see a message here on trusting. Let me finish off by a message on remembering. I believe if you get good preaching, God's people will be trusting. And if we're trusting, then we'll be remembering. Again, looking at this chapter typically again. Think of what the butler received. Verse 20 to 21. He received emancipation. He was set free out of the prison. Out of the prison. Notice not only the emancipation, but look at the occupation, verse 21. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. You see, not only emancipation, but occupation. You see, the Lord not only set you free, believer, but you know, he has something for you to do. He didn't save you to sit
in Rathfriland Baptist Church and to sit in your hands. He has something for you to do. And maybe this is a good week to start. Maybe tomorrow night would be a great night to start. You've maybe never been out before. Boy, what joy you would bring to people's hearts if you turned up tomorrow evening. What a blessing it would be just to get involved. Even the Lord doesn't want you sitting here Sunday by Sunday and doing nothing for Him. That's not what you're saved for. He wants you to do something for Him. You see the emancipation. You see the occupation when we think of what He received. Then notice what was required. And again, we're looking at it typically now, so you'll understand the angle I'm taking. Joseph speaks to the butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. And think of Joseph as a type of Christ. And here's someone who's been set free, emancipation. Here's someone who's got occupation. They're doing something for the king. And here's what Joseph asks in response. Here's what the Lord wants. He says, think on me. Isn't that meditation? I wonder, do you ever meditate on the Lord? Do you ever take time just to meditate on the Lord? You know, I think, and I'm using my memory here, in the Old Testament, the word for meditation is similar to the word for a cow chewing its cud. And if you know anything about cows, they chew the cud continually. And you take something in from the Lord and you're just chewing it over in your mind. You're just meditating. Meditating as you drive. Meditating as you work. Meditating, just thinking about the Lord. Joseph says, think on me. And Joseph was someone who meditated. Even in this chapter, verse 8, he said, do not interpretations belong to God? In Genesis 41, he always talked about the Lord. But Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give thee. Verse 25, God has shown. Verse 28, what God is about to do. He always talked about the Lord. He was always meditating on the Lord. Think on me, Joseph says to you this morning. Think on me. Meditation. But you know, he goes a little bit further because there's proclamation. Look at verse 14. Think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me. Talk about me. Surely if we have been set free out of the prison of sin and darkness, surely if the Lord has given you and I something to do, surely the least that he can expect is we meditate on him. Surely the least that he can expect is we talk about him, make mention of me. Honestly this morning, and I asked myself the question too, when's the last time we spoke to anyone about Jesus Christ? Other than another believer. Really, honestly. But I challenged myself. And I don't know how far you have to go back, but I'm thinking how far I need to go back. Do you see what was required? Meditation. Proclamation. And then there was obligation. Look at verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph had asked him to remember him. But the butler's free. He's no longer bound. And he doesn't remember. He forgets. He's like one of the 10 lepers or the 9 lepers. Remember, only one returned to say thanks. The other 9 went on their way. And the Lord looked down and he said, and he saw the one. Where are the 9? And sometimes at the Lord's table, I wonder, does the Lord look around and say, where are the 9? Where are those that I've set free? Where are those that are doing something for me? Where are those that I've died for and rose again for and saved? Where are those that I've helped and comforted and poured out my grace upon? Where are they? We read that the butler, he forgot all about Joseph. You see, once he was set free, he was as happy as Larry, as they say. And the butler didn't remember Joseph. What about you this morning? Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph. What an ungrateful, unappreciative man he was. And his name is not always butler. You know, when we think about Joseph, and I want to finish off quickly this morning. Joseph's associated 3 times with 2 sets of dreams. The first ones were in Genesis chapter 37, were about the sheaves and the stars concerning heaven and earth. And, about one object they gather around and they all bow down. It speaks of Christ being supreme. The second set of dreams we've looked at this morning speak of Christ being sovereign. He knew the destinies of both of these men. Christ sovereign. Christ supreme. The next dreams would be Pharaoh's dreams. And they speak of Christ being the Savior. Because Joseph becomes the Savior of Egypt. And Egypt is a picture of the world. And Joseph is a picture of Christ. And it shows us Christ as the Savior of the world. Christ is supreme this morning. Christ is sovereign this morning. Christ is the Savior this morning. He says, think on me. Make mention of me. And remember me. Have we anything better to do? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lessons we can learn from the life of Joseph again. Lord, as a preacher, and every preacher here, we need to examine our hearts. Lord, are we truly faithful to the book? Lord, are we prepared to bring the comfort and the encouragement, and we thank God for it? But Lord, sometimes we need to bring the rebuke and the challenge. Do we truly declare the whole counsel of God? Lord, help us. Help me, Lord. Help me to be faithful to the book above everything else. And always please God and not seek to please man. Lord, we pray for everyone in the meeting this morning. Lord, maybe someone has found a door shut in their face recently. And Lord, you're just asking them to wait. Just to wait a little longer. Because Lord, you've got something far better for them. But we ask that your grace would be sufficient for them. And Lord, that they might know your patience and long suffering as they wait on thee. Lord, we are also challenged about remembering this morning. And so often, Lord, like the nine, we're too busy to remember. We don't remember thee in the morning. We don't remember in the evening. We don't take time, even around the Lord's table, to remember thee. Oh Lord, just speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to meditate. Help us to be proclamators. And help us, Lord, to be rememberers. For we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. I'm going to sing in closing from Songs of Victory again. Number 638. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We'll just sing verse 1, 2, and the last verse with the chorus. Verses 1, 2, and 4 with the chorus. Standing to sing 638 in our Songs of Victory. Thank you.
Just to rest upon.
Lord, do help us to be a trusting people. May we walk by faith and not by sight. Bless those who must leave us now. Lord, as we gather around the Lord's table, O Lord, give us a fresh glimpse of our Saviour. For we ask it in and through his precious name. Amen.